With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Mumbai FC's free fall and unstoppable Shillong Lajang at home. The derby day fixture in Kolkata and finally an end to the Nikola Adams saga. Well, that makes up for the lineup of this episode of Injury Time. Hello and welcome. This is Naveen in the company of Sandeep.
Hello.
And joining us today is Chidananda.
Good afternoon.
Guys, we're slowly but steadily approaching the midway point of the I-League. The champions Bengaluru are struggling at the fifth position, but the two Kolkata giants, East Bengal and Mohun Bagan, going all guns blazing at the top. Has the league panned out as he hoped out?
Siddhu, no, I'm a little surprised, especially with BFC's away form. I think they're yet to win away under Albert Roca since he took over in 7 matches. So it's a little surprising, and also teams like Aizawl, I think we'll come to that later, but teams that didn't expect to do well are doing well. And East Bengal under Trevor Morgan, and after the first draw, 6 wins in a row. That has been a huge surprise, I must say. I expected them to do okay, but I didn't expect them to do this well. And Mohun Bagan, I think this is probably the most unsurprising bit of the lot, because you expect them to be there or thereabouts. So, yeah.
At the same time, adding on to the point that you said about Roca, even when he did whatever he did in the AFC Cup last season, if you see, I don't think he won away in Tampines Rovers or Johor. Campines, I think, was a nil-nil. He got a 1-0 here. So basically, he's not won an away match, including the final, which is technically not.
Yeah,
it's not a home, it's a neutral venue,
correct.
He's not won an away match.
Outside Bangalore, he's yet to
win. He's yet to win.
But going forward, last week of I-League seemed to be pretty interesting. Mohun Bagan, as expectedly, beating Aizawl 3-2. You happened to catch a glimpse of that match, isn't it, Sandeep?
Yeah, it was actually a good match. I wouldn't say Bagan was lucky, but maybe that match should have been a draw, because Aizawl did well enough to maybe get a draw. They scored 2 goals. They had a...
This match was an Aizawl.
I think, yes. It's like... What do you... It's there...
No, I think it was in Calcutta. Mohun Bagan home game.
I think it was extremely hard-working team, Aizawl. Yeah. And they keep running up and down. They're extremely fit.
Yeah.
Khalid Jamil has made them what Mumbai used to be.
Correct.
You know, defensively very solid, what Mumbai is not now anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I, like I said before, Aizawl is probably the best team for him to come in.
Yeah.
Because the ambitions are not as high as in Mumbai, but at the same time, he's overperforming with the team by going with a defensive strategy.
Actually, I'm pleasantly surprised by Aizawl, because they don't score a lot of goals. They remind me a lot of like the old West Brom. Maybe the West Brom of last year,
Tony Pulis.
This year, surprisingly, scoring goals. But anyway, so Aizawl this year, I think they scored only 8 and conceded 7. Goal difference of +1. So they're like a very stodgy team, very maybe dull at times, but they're,
actually,
they get the job done, I think.
Yeah, I quite enjoy them playing.
Yeah, and I've been pleased to see how Jayesh Rane is playing. He and Ashutosh Mehta, I think Khalid Jamil got them.
Yeah, got them
from Bombay. And I think Jayesh Rane scored in the last game against Mumbai FC. He's got 2 goals so far. He's only 23, so I'm hoping to see him do better.
What about the Syrian guy, the striker who's come in, guy around whom the side more or less gets those goals nowadays?
I think they are more than just him. We are kind of, you know, putting him on a pedestal, because in the initial couple of matches he was very good. But if you look overall, their wing backs are very good. Their defensive midfielder, I forgot his name, but he's also very good.
Oh, the Iraqi guy. Mahmood Alamna.
Yeah, he's a good player, but I think the team as a whole, like you said,
no, I think so.
Jai Shane
like,
has been
I think the two, I think two African strikers up front, and the rest of the side is full of, I think, guys, local guys from Mizoram. Yeah, so which is good to see.
Well, they are up against Churchill Brothers next. They host Churchill Brothers, and Aizwal has had a pretty good record at home. Khadil Jamil has done well enough to eke out positive results for his side at home, and Churchill Brothers are in the northeast side of the country. They lost to Shillong Lajong in the past match and now move on to play Aizwal. How do you see that matchup panning out?
You know, earlier in the season, I would have said Aizwal is going to walk away with it, but if you see, Lajong has now played well over the past
Churchill is playing Aizwal.
Oh, sorry, Churchill. I heard Lajong. Yeah, Churchill. Maybe I think in that case it goes to Aizwal.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't think Churchill are going to be able to beat Aizwal.
No, because in the match against Shillong, Churchill was trying. They don't keep possession all that well. So they try to bypass
the goal they conceded as one of the.
Yeah, that's a very very bad goal to concede. But they try to bypass midfield or go towards the striker directly, and with the way
you see too much of long balls being played.
Not long ball, they just pass it towards the striker first and try to buy, like, it's a good idea, but when you look at a team like Aizawl, who's defensively so sound, they're going to smother those chances.
Now what about the other team from the north, Shillong Lajong? A horrible start to the league, but eventually catching a 5 wins in a row, their best run of wins for the team in the I-League this time, Diver Section doing a pretty well job for the Shillong side of it.
Yeah, so actually that was what he said in the beginning, after the loss to BFC in Bangalore. You know, he said the team is going to take time to improve, you know, going to take time to develop an understanding. Yeah, that is what has happened.
And next assignment for Mumbai FC is Chennai City FC, and we hear
just
that...
Before we move away from Shillong, in that match against Churchill Brothers over the weekend, they played very well. They keep possession very well. They pass. Their right side is very strong. The right wing, the wing back and the midfielder, they're all very strong. But their striker, Dikka Dipanda, S.E.R. Dikka, yeah. So he had a head injury and he was lying on the floor, and I think he was kind of in a knocked out or slightly, you know, not well at all. So, and he still got up and continued. Because they're trying to make sure that he's not swallowing his own tongue and all of those things. And it's a head injury. I know at the end of the day, onus falls on the manager to pick him, you know, take him off.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Do you think there is something that Indian football need to catch up to, because head injuries are such a big discussion?
They would have, if it was that serious. I don't think there was much anything serious about it, because if the injury was as serious to him, they would have just took him out and brought in another player.
But they didn't. The point is, even someone like Hugo Lloris, who got knocked out, he, as a player, as an athlete, he will want to come and continue. So, similar to this fellow, but this injury to Dipanda was not as bad as that of Hugo Lloris. But he wanted to continue. Obviously, he did. But maybe we should look into the fact that, you know, the player's health is more important.
Are we looking?
He did get the goal.
Yeah, are we reading too much into this?
No, I'm just making sure that people are aware of such a fact that you have to look into it, because it's a very physical sport. And especially if you get hit on the backside of the head or on the top of your head.
Yeah, getting hit.
And, by the way, so sorry to digress, but Dipanda reminds me of Cameroon and I think their victory in the
Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Dipanda was one of the guys who was celebrating here while
Cameroon was winning there. They will be playing the Confederation Cup this time round in Russia in July. So that's for some time later in injury time. But moving on with the I-League, what about the champions, guys? They were 2-0 down to Pune, DSK Shivajians in Pune. Chetri and Salam Ranjan Singh is debut goal for the club. You're satisfied with the results, or is there something wrong?
Definitely not. So, after the losses to East Bengal and Churchill, Albert Roca, actually ahead of this game, Albert Roca said the losses to East Bengal and Churchill were because we switched off at important times. So he said we switched off and we paid the price. And then he said I was really very happy with how well we came back in Jordan and how well we played against Al-Mehta. But again, I was watching the highlights of this game and again against DSK, both goals I think were due to defensive errors.
Yeah, especially the second one.
Both were superb finishes actually by Holichar and Nazri. But the first one, I think Keegan Pereira missed him. He should have stopped him, but Keegan Pereira, who was playing in this game, I think only because John Johnson probably was suspended. So he made a mistake. He let him through for the first goal. And for the second goal, Salam Ranjan Singh again was at fault. He tried to clear the ball. But
that was a weird clearance. What was he trying to do?
It came off as, I think he was trying to do a back heel.
Yeah, but at that juncture,
I think he was trying to flick it in the back of his boot. But he was not able to flick it. And then he ended up flicking it into the path of Nazri. And then it was a superb finish. He put it between the
keeper's legs. Very quick. Once he's behind you,
you're not talking about Holichar. And one chap here is smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, I wanted him to do well.
He's been talking about Nazri for a pretty long time now.
Yeah,
he's pretty happy with the way he played for yesterday.
Yeah, but like Chidu just said, you know, BFC gave him those chances. I mean, as good as a finish that he did, like great finishes, but those chances should never have come his way. It's just not done.
So again, two defensive errors, and Roka will be pretty frustrated because he wants to cut these off.
Right.
Yeah, and also looking going forward, like I've been harping on this for a while, they still don't really have an exact clue as to what they're doing. And the two goals, one was a set piece. The second one was a pretty, routine diagonal long ball behind the defense. And Chetri, you know, had the skill and the composure to finish that.
Mm.
So it's not a great team goal. They're just trying to get the goal with the most direct way.
Mm.
And that's just happening.
Right.
So that they showed a lot of fight. You have to give them the fact that they came back from 2-0 to bring 2-2. But at the moment, they are 9 points behind the leaders. And with yet to play against the top sides, like East Bengal, they have to play twice.
Yeah.
Aizawl, they have to play
East
twice.
Once.
Bagan, they have to play twice.
Aizawl twice.
So, all this means maybe, unless they win against Minerva on during Saturday, this weekend, which looks very likely.
Mm-hmm.
But unless they do that, they're probably the chances of a title retention is gone.
Do you all think this Minerva game is coming at a very right time for BFC? Given that it's at home and it's Minerva, so
correct,
they can just win, get their confidence back and then go on the run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is just the right opportunity for them. And another thing, actually, against DSK, they could have won the game right at the death. I think Danny Rodriguez had a shot that hit the post. So that was one thing. But again, playing midweek and then again playing on the weekend, that could have been an issue. So here now, they will have had some rest.
Right.
So I expect them to.
And I think Johnson will be back.
Johnson will be back after suspension.
Okay.
Yes. But what about their opponents for Saturday, Minerva FC?
They got their first win in the over the weekend.
Yeah.
They beat against Mumbai. But I think pitch, the ground played a huge role in that victory.
Something Santosh has mentioned in the post-match press conference.
But then again, if you're going there, Mumbai should know what they're up against, and it was not a performance worthy of winning for them. So they probably will be, you know, kind of excited to get off the mark.
Right.
But I don't think they'll pose any serious threats to Bangalore FC's home form.
Yeah, but coming to Chitu, what's wrong with Mumbai FC? Off to a bright start, two wins in the first two matches, then a free fall, five losses.
Yeah, I don't know if it has got anything to do with the way Santosh Kashyap wants to play. Maybe he wants to play expansive sort of attacking football. The kind he's done before with Bahindo, but maybe he does not have the right personnel for that at Mumbai. Maybe, you know, it is, he would be better off playing a very minimalist style of football where, you know, all you have to do is just survive. Maybe that sort of approach would pay better dividends. But to be honest, I've not watched their matches, so I don't know if that is indeed the problem. But
do you think it's a problem with the mentality? Because last year, when Khalid Jameel was there, he said we can challenge for the title because they had brought in quite a few decent players in, and they still struggled to almost being relegated. Now again, they are new coach, new players.
But still, I really think it's a lack of personnel that the team has. Of the four foreigners that has been allowed by the I-League, by the AFC rules, Mumbai FC has just two. Denzel Theobald and Rubin
but
in the movie.
You can't use this as an excuse because you have
to
buy
it's not an excuse. This is something.
Aizawl have only three foreigners. Right?
This is not an excuse. This is something that Mumbai FC should have taken into consideration.
So is it a mentality that we are in the I-League and that's okay? and we don't need to push beyond a certain level.
But if that was the case, the initial start which the team had, and when they came to Bangalore to play Bengaluru FC.
But when we talk about the initial start, it is just two matches that they won. It's not like they won six and then lost.
Exactly, but the two matches, the manner in which they won the games, gave you an impression that this team was different. This team would go ahead and do something that Mumbai FC hasn't done in the past. Like, I wouldn't say challenge for the title, but at least challenge for the top three spot. No, it's not an elusive club to be in, because only the champions go ahead and play in the Continental Championship. But to be in the top three slot could have given them the much boost and confidence going into the future seasons. But now with five losses, I doubt even that's happening.
I know, I'm just wondering about the mentality of the people who run that club. Maybe. Or, I don't know, just a thought.
Right, well, they are up against Chennai City FC. They host Chennai City FC, and we just get the news today that Chennai has sacked their coach.
Yeah, I read it.
They have parted ways with Robin Charles Raja, and their assistant coach will be the caretaker guy till they appoint a new coach. So when they play Mumbai over the weekend, it will be the assistant coach will be in charge. So how much will that have an effect on a Chennai side that has not lived up to its billing, if I can say that?
I mean, I think it was premature to sack Robin Charles Raja, because they have only, what, 1 month to prepare the team. And they haven't, although they didn't win, they didn't play that horribly for him to be sacked.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess now, you know, whatever is done. They'll just have to pick up where they left off. Because they have a decent striker in Tank.
Charles D'Souza is also good.
Yeah, so they have players and they have the cushion of no relegation. So
for a team that knows that won't be relegated this season or the season coming forward next year, what mindset do you go into the league? What are you trying to achieve? Like, you're pretty new to this setup, you're pretty new to this challenges that the I-League throws up. So what are you trying to achieve, and how are you trying to complement everything here?
Yeah, I think it can also, if you don't have players who are hungry to succeed, then motivation can be an issue. So if you're not challenging for the title, and if you're not in danger of getting relegated, then basically what are you playing for is the question. So, and if the players start losing and if you get into a downward spiral, it can be very difficult to pick yourself up again. So, I honestly think they don't have a good enough squad. Probably need a few more quality players there. So, hopefully that will happen next season.
Probably one team that does not lack any motivation or like any confidence is East Bengal.
Yeah.
Right on top of the table. Last match they beat Chennai 3-0.
Are
on top of the table with 19 points, and their closest rival, their biggest rival, Mohun Bagan, second. And it's the big derby day in Kolkata the coming weekend.
Yeah.
How do you see this whole turning up? Could be the last time you're seeing this derby with all the merger talks happening on the
bye. There will be one more derby this year.
Yeah, this year could be the last the year of derby.
So I think this one probably, East Bengal is probably, you know, has a slight edge because Bagan played a midweek match.
Mm-hmm.
East Bengal had a full week of rest to prepare. And then they probably have motivation because they haven't won in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been kind of a, you know, build up to it. And if they win this match, they can put serious distance between the top two. And that's probably what they're going to do. So, and if it's a small league, so any 5-point, 6-point gap is a huge deficit to make up.
And by the way, is it a 4:30 kickoff?
It's a 4:30 kickoff.
Yes. Isn't that unusual?
It's not, because Rabindra Sarovar has this problem. No, it's in Siliguri. It's home for East
Bengal.
It's home for East Bengal, a place which is known for East Bengal support.
Right.
So lights are a bit problem, and it darkens
pretty early.
It darkens pretty early in that day.
And East Bengal, actually, I've been hugely impressed with their two like Caribbean strikers,
Willis Plaza
and
Eva
Anselmi. Bukenya is from Uganda, so
Uganda,
Plaza
yeah.
and Anselm, like from, I think Anselm from Haiti, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the two Caribbean players have scored 5 and 5 each, so which is
Plaza is the leading goal scorer.
Correct. Yeah. So
they're getting a lot of goals.
So that they've been playing very well. And talking of East Bengal, I want to mention Robin Singh here for a minute. So Robin Singh, when he played when he scored for East Bengal against BFC a couple of rounds ago, he celebrated after he scored the goal. I don't say players should not celebrate when they score against their old clubs.
Yeah.
I think it's too much to expect. But in Robin's case, I am a little surprised because of the kind of things he said when he was at BFC. So in an interview to my colleague about 3 years ago, in his first year in BFC, he said, I want to be here for a very long time. Okay, maybe that's not in his control. But then he said, he was asked to compare the fans at East Bengal and BFC.
I was there for that interview.
And he said, I think the fans at BFC are more intelligent. Which I think is, if I was an East Bengal fan, I would be very upset with such a statement. Basically, he's calling them dumb.
Also, and he said, in East Bengal, they chant East Bengal. In Bangalore, they chant Robin, not just a team.
And he said, in East Bengal, I was booed when I played badly, and you can't boo your own player. And here in Bangalore, you know, nobody does that.
Who needs Batman? We want Robin.
Yeah, they don't boo your own, you don't boo your own player. So he was basically saying, you know, East Bengal fans are kind of negative, and he likes the fans here at BFC a lot more. So after statements like that, I was very surprised that he went to East Bengal in the first place.
More surprised that he scored in the second place.
Yeah, correct. and then he's celebrated after he scored. And this is the thing about Robin, right? We've been talking about him as a promising striker for so long now.
Yeah. And he's no longer a promising striker.
Okay, and maybe he's had bad luck with injuries. You can say that along the way, a couple of big injuries. But he's never scored. I was just looking this up today. He's never scored more than 9 goals in a season across competitions. So the maximum he got was 9, which was in 2014-15, and this includes goals from the Fed Cup, the AFC Cup and the I-League. So just scored 9 in a season. He's not even gotten to double figures all his professional career. And we've all looked up to him as this, you know, guy who's going to be the savior,
the next big thing.
Yeah, the next big thing in Indian football, and I think he's 26 now, so
he's
the next big thing.
This is the same argument that I've had with Stephen Constantine, the Indian national coach, when he kept playing Robin.
He's
when
a
he was
really good friend.
I mean, nothing against him, but I was just wondering why he was, you know, so much emphasis was given to Robin. I know he's a hard-working player, and I've seen him enough to know that he's very quick for a guy his size and strength. And he has all the tools in the world, but there seems to be something missing in terms of getting the goals, being in the right place to get that goals.
Yeah. And I think in East Bengal, he's not going to be a regular starter.
No,
because
he's not.
So he definitely is.
Quality
is an option off the bench.
You cannot shift to Willis Plaza and put Robin Singh in.
Yeah.
He's, maximum he's going to do is come up from the bench.
Well, we speak a lot about East Bengal. What about their opponents for Sunday? Mohun Bagan, they come on the back of a win against Colombo FC in the AFC Cup preliminary stage of the qualifiers. Now they move into the playoff stage where they take on Club Valencia of Maldives, who beat Thimphu City of Bhutan 3-0 over 2 legs. And if they happen to win this playoff, they go into Group E of AFC Cup. And guess who's waiting for them there?
3 other teams.
And one of them is the defending champions of the I-League, Bengaluru FC. How are things shaping up for them?
We always knew that this would be an eventuality if this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because one of them might knock each other out in the first round itself. But that's where we are now. There's nothing we can do about it.
But what about the way Mohun Bagan has approached this season in particular? One of the two teams who are still unbeaten in the league, other being East Bengal.
Again, nice to see. And I was watching highlights of their win over Aizawl. And I liked this guy, the guy with the flaming hair, Prabir Das, I think. He's got the whatever the colored hair. And I don't approve of the colouring, but still, I thought he was lively, at least in the 5 minutes highlights package that I saw, and he was the man of the match afterwards as well.
Nodé has been quiet.
Yeah.
But Nodé exploded yesterday in the AFC Cup match.
Oh, he
had an absolutely amazing, because there was no telecast.
Was it a comeback game for him? Because he was out injured for a while.
He's played here and there, but not much. But yesterday he actually, this is what I read, because there was no telecast, I didn't see it. But apparently he had a brilliant game yesterday. He was taken off to standing ovation in the 60th minute or something like that.
Probably Daryl Duffy has filled in for Nolde up front along with JJ Lalpetrua. He's been doing good, getting goals in the league. And in the middle, you have someone like Katsumi Yuza who's been good over the past
year. Very good. He always receives the ball in a half turn, which is something that we, at least in Indian football, don't see a lot.
But
and
he's not in Indian.
Yeah, I know. In Indian football.
Okay.
So, it seems really like a great player to have, and he's been here for such a long time.
And in the defense, one of your favorite players, Pritham Kotil, he's pretty good. But on the other flank,
I hope people realize the sarcasm in his tone.
But on the other flank, you have someone like a Pranoy Haldar, who always a short-tempered guy who always ends up making mistakes which you don't expect at that level, at least, and hopefully Derby won't take a toll on him. That's what I know.
An interesting derby anyway. There's no Khabra for them.
Mm-hmm. So, first derby without Sahwag.
After quite a long time.
Yes. And the last match of this game week would be Lajong hosting DSK Shivaji. You see another win for Lajong?
Yeah, yeah. Because they seem... The amazing thing was about Lajong was the way they keep the ball. Like for you don't see that awful lot in Indian football, but at the moment I think they are probably the most confident team in terms of keeping possession. They rotated very well. But having said that, most of their attacks and crosses come through the right flank. So if you can neutralize that side, they'll take some edge out of their attack.
Right. Well, that's all about the I-League. But moving a bit away from the I-League, but sticking to Indian football, it's more about the Indian Under-17 team. Nikolai Adam and the AFF has finally decided to part ways, and this time on mutual consent. How much mutual was the consent?
It's in air quotes.
Yeah.
Mutual consent. It was inevitable that he would leave.
Yeah.
And it's nice that at least they left on not so bad terms.
Well, and rumors have it that a coach will be appointed pretty soon.
Yeah.
And there are names popping up which are pretty unusual.
I don't believe in... I know the names he's talking about, and I'm sure you'll be surprised when
you're surprised
says
because
this.
Even I was surprised when I read about this.
I don't think it's true.
Yeah, people like Jürgen Klinsmann, Carlos Queiroz, the former Iranian coach, and two Indians. One is Richard Kuda, another is Santosh Singh, who's been with the...
But isn't Richard Kuda already with the AFF?
Yeah.
He's with the AFF, but not the
Under-17
team.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Carlos Queiroz is going to come here because he's played, coached in teams like Manchester United, Real Madrid, Iran.
Yeah, and I think he's expecting a pretty huge salary. So
And why would you leave a senior coaching job to come for an Under-17 tournament?
Right.
Jürgen Klinsmann, yeah, similar, but he had a very bad time in US as a coach of US. At least towards the end. In the beginning, it was all fine and dandy. But there was a lot of backlash against
it. That given that only 8 months are there for this team, for the World Cup, you go with an Indian coach rather than going for a foreign?
Yeah. I mean, at least my opinion, I don't know what she does, but I would say, like, if we have Indian coaches right through the age groups, going up until the age 22, under 22, 23, you have a structure, a similar structure throughout. So maybe that will help,
it
better.
You know, what worries me is having now played for so long under one coach, having played one style of football, having been used to his methods. Now, all of a sudden, if you bring in another coach this close to a major tournament, I don't know what it is going to do to the team. So, another thing I want to ask you is, how happy were you with how the team played, actually? We watched them in Goa last year.
Yeah.
The same guys were now going to be the Under-17 team. And I thought in a couple of matches they were naive, but I thought they were extremely, extremely good to watch.
Yeah.
They were entertaining team, but defensively naive, like you said.
So,
to concede three goals after going 3-0 up and all.
Correct, but some of their attacking play was really exhilarating.
Exactly.
So, but the kind of allegations they made against Adam and his assistant Ibrahimov.
Do you think there's more to it than meets the eye?
No, we don't really know because is it just a case of, if it was just a case of our players being struggling with somebody imposing discipline, then I don't think it would have been blown up. But I think it must be slightly severe in nature for them to approach Praful Patel and then complain this happened. It must be, of course, we've read the kind of things that is. But I don't know how the team is going to perform now to make a change so close to the event.
But at least you would think they would give an Indian a chance because, you know, it's just 8 months.
Yeah, even
you don't want to spend so much money on this. And, I personally don't think they're going to do. If they get out of the group stage, that's a good result. But whether they will, it's a question.
Yeah.
Well, I never... Even when the Under-17 World Cup was handed out to India, I never thought that the team would go out and outperform itself. All I was expecting was the three matches that India plays, and they give a fight. They go out and fight for every ball, fight every minute, fight for every challenge. That's all I expect from this side even when they go out and play that World Cup. I do not expect them to go and win the World Cup, or I don't even expect them to enter the knockouts. Like, just putting it straight out, if they can play three games in the group stages to the best of their potential, I'll be really happy.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I think we have on this episode of Injury Time. But before we wrap up, I have a fun fact this time around. Unlike Sandeep, who always comes up with fun fact, this time round it's funny.
Is it Chelsea beating Arsenal?
No, it's nothing to do with European football. I always stick to Indian football. Mm-hmm. So it's about this 17-year-old guy who plays for Minerva Punjab FC. Bowring Ding Bodo, he became the youngest...
Say the name again.
Bowring Ding Bodo. He became the youngest Indian player to score in the I-League at the age of 17 when he netted against whom?
Mumbai.
Yes, in the 2-1 win.
Yeah, I saw the goal.
Yeah.
Good week for players from Assam.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And he might...
Nazri,
our fan is here.
Yeah. Nazri, do it for me, man.
Yes. So, he might also turn up for the Indian under-17 team if things well, work well for him and...
How you said he's over 17?
He's 17. He's 17.
No, there is a cutoff date.
January thing.
Right. So yeah. Well, that's all for this episode of Injury Times. Sandeep, you got anything to add?
No.
Yeah.
I think we don't want to go too long.
Yes.
So there's nothing spectacular that happened in European football this week, has it?
Yeah.
Like everything was routine, expected.
Yes. Routine thing. So yeah, well.
Liverpool lost, so that's...
That's also routine.
That's, yeah. 1 win in 10 matches, that's good.
Pretty routine. Well, yeah. I think that's all we have on this episode of Injury Time. Like to inform you all that we are on iTunes, we are on TuneIn, we are on Stitcher, we are on SoundCloud, you name it, and we are there. So do catch the episode on the platforms that you are on. And until we bring out the next episode of Injury Time, have a great week and enjoy the game.